Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Friday morning. Welcome to the weekend with Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're so glad you're along for this. Ninth day of June, 2023. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And my friends, you're waking up to a second consecutive smoke-free morning here in Eastern Ontario. Breathe deep. Enjoy. And it's looking actually pretty good for the weekend overall, as far as the smoke is concerned. All right, here's your forecast. Smoke-free day today across Eastern Ontario. We're looking at a mix of sun and clouds with a high of 20 degrees. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 23. Mix of sun and clouds, Sunday, 25. So gradually increasing temperatures, partly sunny throughout the weekend. Kind of a mixed bag. There is the chance, depending on how the winds blow, that we could see a little bit of smoke on the weekend, but nothing like we saw earlier in the week. And as we said, this morning is all good. As you wake up this morning, we are sitting at 11 degrees as we say good morning. Hello, happy Friday, happy weekend, happy let's get that deck finished once and for all. Deshaun Simpson, how are you doing this morning? Simmer.
Excellent, Jer. Yeah, final pieces arrived yesterday, so get to work probably tomorrow. Finish up the old deck there and, just enjoy the weekend. Look forward to the sports. Enjoyed the hockey game last night, basketball tonight, and, of course, a little Red Blacks action on Saturday. Mm. So very good and very excited for the weekend. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Now, is your deck assistant all ready to go tomorrow?
Yeah, he's ready to
What's
rock
his name again? Diego?
Super Dave.
Super Dave. Yeah.
Diego. Are you watching Dora the Explorer?
Yes, exactly.
That's the last time I heard the name Diego. I think that's correct, right?
But don't let Swiper take the rest of that lumber there.
For no swiping.
Oh, that's right. Man, that's a flashback to the kids for sure.
Say that to your neighbors, actually, with the lumber that's on your driveway right now. Swiper, no swiping.
Yeah, no, pretty safe on that. So, a few pieces to finish up. And, it certainly made a whole difference. We really didn't as far as a backyard. South view, so lots of sun. But the grass, like a lot of places in Ottawa, not much there. Whole lot of weeds. So almost, I'd say 80% of it now is covered up with a nice old deck there. So, just excited to enjoy. And should be a beauty summer on that bad boy.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All good. Hammer, what do you got going on this weekend? Anything good?
We are heading to Mississauga for a ball tournament. Yeah. Carter was invited to play with the U18s with a few other teammates in the 16U squad. So this is a tournament. I forget the name of this, but teams from all over the province. If they win this tournament, though, this is the little catch here. Okay, if they win it, we head to New Mexico in July.
New Mexico. So even though he's called up to the show.
To the
Yes, he would get called up for the tournament?
You got to go with
the team.
With the team that took you there,
I'm assuming that he and the guys he's been called up with are taking the place of others who are regularly on the team. So those who are regularly on the team, they get punted to the sidelines for the tournament?
I guess maybe called up might be the wrong term. Maybe
reinforcements?
A super team.
Oh,
let's call it an ONC.
Nice.
Super team.
I got to say, New Mexico, one of the most anonymous states. I got nothing there. When you talk
I got
about,
Albuquerque.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it just
Los Lobos.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, nice. There you go.
I've got nothing except for that. My youngest said, if we go to New Mexico, I'm coming too. But why do you want to go to New Mexico? Where have you heard of New Mexico?
You know what? Maybe you need to do a little trivia. And if he can come up with five quick answers off the top of his head, boom, he's on his way.
Okay, so no research. You can't have his phone.
Exactly.
I need to know that you know that New Mexico actually
exists. What is the number of the main highway, the most famous highway, that transverses Mexico east to west, west to east?
Highway 66.
Highway 66, of course. Very famous.
Well, good point, because we did bring up. We did do a little Google search, a little Google map. So how far of a drive is New Mexico?
We're going to drive.
Oh, okay. My God.
This was just some fun. Because obviously we drove to Florida, March break.
Are we going 30 hours?
28 and a half hours.
Ooh. No, gee, that is a monster ride.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Geez.
It's supposed to be a gorgeous place, though, with the rivers and the cliffs and all the stuff. I've had some friends there that have done some boating down there.
And you know what? When you're down there, just nip across the border over to Mexico. Very safe in the northern area of
that's
Mexico.
That's old Mexico.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful part of the country.
Safe. All good. Yeah, you know what?
The
just
way
do
you
it.
Say safe tells me it's not really that safe.
Now, I just may have come across a piece of I don't know what's going on with the algorithms on Twitter.
Yeah.
Now,
what are you searching? What are you looking at?
Nothing. But there's all kinds of things that are coming up in my feed, like things I don't follow. Anyway, yesterday there's this piece of video from these two tourists, these two guys that got lost in northern Mexico.
Okay.
And they end up with this going through, I don't know if it was a checkpoint is the right word, for one of the many murderous Mexican drug cartels. And it's dash cam video of these guys. Okay. I have never seen two guys literally begging for their lives and sweating. And the drug cartel, you don't see them, but you can say, and then, you know, hear the word gringos,
yeah,
right? They're talking in Spanish, but you're not really exactly sure what they're saying.
Yeah.
And the drug cartel guys are trying to calm these two guys down because they're pretty sure they're going to get murdered right on the spot, right? It was the most surreal piece of video I've seen in a long time. Anyway, feel free to do that. Take the family across the border.
What?
And just see what happens.
We got to get the Trumpster back in office as well. You got to finish up the wall. Hey,
that's true.
That's where you got to go visit the wall hammer right there, going all the way across California, New Mexico, Texas.
There's work to be done here first. There's a lot of great teams that are going to be at this tournament.
You guys smoke everybody.
There's work to be done here.
Are you taking on Toronto High Park?
No, that's a little league squad there.
Okay, what about Windsor?
They don't go past. I don't think there's a Windsor team.
Mm. Anybody from Thunder Bay?
Looking at the schedule, there was a team Philippines.
Oh,
from California.
What?
I thought you said this was for teams across Ontario.
And looks like we've got somebody. We've got an import.
The Philippines.
Wow.
You know
what? I don't understand how
checking
can be
ages and ID cards on some of those kids.
One thing you know for
Danny
sure,
Danny Almonte. I'll just say
one
that.
One thing for sure on the Philippines, they have nice shoes. Mrs. Marcos always made sure.
Yeah. Okay. You gotta take a look at their ball cleats.
Designer shoes for sure.
See how they're going.
That's a theme right there. Yeah. Now are you gonna stop in at the Canadian Open too? You're right there.
That's a good point.
Not really part of the schedule. Not really part
of
the plan.
You'll have some downtime.
You should stay right in the Hilton, right at the course there. Hey, just get the family, just hunker in right
there.
Sure,
why not? Let's go see some golf.
Yeah.
Let's go see some ball.
So last Friday you took the day off. Because you're going to baseball in Kitchener.
Yeah.
Why are you here today if you're going to baseball in Mississauga, which is about a half hour shorter drive?
This kind of came up, not last minute, but like 4 days ago. I'm like, I don't need to do that to JR. I can. And the other reason is,
what?
Is that the whole family's going, so my wife will drive, and I'll take care of it.
About Andre, your car mate there?
Yeah, no, they're going separately.
That's
happening separately, so don't need to.
A lot of car meetings going on.
Entire families,
chat the kids up on this one. This is a ride where you just got to be pumping carts up singular. You can't have anybody else in the car.
Yeah. The other kids in the team, they're no good.
Yeah.
You're the best.
You guys have been called up because the other guys, they weren't good. They had to cut other kids that have gone all year. And now you get to provincials and they're calling
this
other kids
provincials.
Up.
All of these.
Kind of an association is this.
Exactly. You want to talk about left field line dad.
Oh, my God.
The whole group.
I'm not
Hammer
that.
Stalked his kid onto another team.
It's ONC.
All right.
Don't get me into trouble here.
Best of luck on all that. So is he playing tonight?
Yeah, 8:00.
Under the lights.
Wow. Under the lights, yes.
Okay, all right.
Driving all day.
I don't
then
know the
plane,
park.
Though. You should have been there last
Driving
night.
Driving all day. Yeah. We're leaving at like 11:30. We'll be there
that's
at 6.
Yeah,
the kid's going to have car
As I
lakes.
Said, all day. All day.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Hey, well, he's got to be there at 6, two
don't
hours.
Be like, don't be like Roger Sloan, one of the Canadian golfers at the Canadian Open.
Yeah.
Who arrived at the golf course yesterday because there's no dedicated traffic lane for the golfers. So, and this is like, it's in Northwest Toronto, like it's in the city.
Yeah.
He arrived for his tee time 2 minutes before, 2 minutes from being disqualified. Apparently the driver of his car was driving on the wrong side of the road at times to get, because it was in the middle of rush hour yesterday morning. He literally couldn't get to the golf course. The guy was, I don't know.
Where's the planning here?
Fast and furious. Well, there was a little bit of criticism.
Vin Diesel?
Well, one would suggest that maybe, like most golfers, you know, professional guys, when they, you know, they're at the course like 2 or 3 hours before their tee time to make sure they're all warmed up and ready to go. So I'm not thinking this was
407 there, champ.
Yeah.
But JR, speaking from experience, he does that every day.
Every single
last time we played golf out in Rockland, he literally was. I had to get it. He was driving up as we were teeing off.
What did I say? I'll be there as you guys are teeing off, and I was there as you guys teed off, just in time delivery.
Yeah.
All right, we got lots to get to on this Friday morning, including details on the Panthers. huge win last night in the Stanley Cup Final in overtime. We'll go through all of that and all the off-the-ice news as well. We got a tremendously busy sports weekend ahead. Tons of stuff going on. We'll go through it all with you. We got some winning for you. We'll have Dave Poulin and Jeff Avery. We'll hook up with Jeff to set up the Red Black season opener tomorrow night in Montreal. Lots to get to on this Friday morning. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back, 626 on this Friday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer. Cork and Canada writes, guys, New Mexico is the only state in which the state and the capital have two words. See if your youngest son who wants to go on the road trip to New Mexico can come up with that piece of trivia. The only U.S. state in which the name of the state and the name of the capital are two words. New Mexico and Santa Fe. Nicely done, Cork. Thank you for that. JP, the Sens fan. It's Friday. Can I get a wrench to social media Sens fans overreacting about anything that's speculated about DeBrincat or ownership? Let it happen, folks, and enjoy the beautiful frickin' weather. That's from JP.
You should be able to have, like, four beer. I mean, I'll have six.
All right. So it is a wrench-throwing Friday. Anything in the world of sports, the world in general, that has bothered you the last 7 days, this is your opportunity to get it off your chest. Send us a text at 12-1200. That's the easiest way. You can phone them in as well. But text us at 12-1200. Let us know all about it, and boom, we'll throw a wrench at it at some point throughout the show this morning, and it's like it just drops off your back. Water off a duck's back, as it were. All right, so we'll do that throughout the morning as well. We mentioned that Dave Poulin is our TSN hockey insider. He'll join us after 8, after 9. Jeff Avery getting set to, well, I was going to say jet off, but they're actually going to carpool to Montreal for game one of the Red Black season tomorrow night against the Montreal Alouettes. Look forward to talking to Jeff and getting set for the beginning of the CFL season for the local team. Kicked off last night, of course, with the BC Lions walking into Calgary and beating the Stampeders 25-15 in the CFL season opener. That did not look like a very big crowd. I was flipping over to that game a little bit with breaks in the hockey. It was, it was not good. I didn't see what the announced attendance was, if they did announce the attendance, but it was not a big number in Calgary last night. All right, let's get to the hockey. Game three of the Stanley Cup Finals. You heard here on TSN 1200 last night. Vegas, of course, going in up 2-0. Looking to get, pretty much clinch the thing if they had won last night. And they were in control. Up 2-1 after Jonathan Marchessault scored a second period power play goal. They nursed it through pretty much the entirety of the third period. Then Florida pulled the goalie, and then you know who happened.
And a save made by Hill. The turnaround follow-up from Bennett blocked. Ekblad near point. Looks across. Big drive for Hagee. The rebound. They score. And it's Matthew Tkachuk on the doorstep. And this game is tied at 2 with 2:13 to play in regulation time.
Of course it's Matthew Tkachuk. Who else was going to score a huge goal for the Florida Panthers when they needed it the most? So Tkachuk scores with 2:13 left to tie the game at 2. Just before regulation ends. A terrible penalty call, in my opinion. Don't know how you felt about it, Simmer.
Yeah, totally agree.
A terrible penalty call. Put Florida on the PK. Put Vegas on the power play for, I think it was $1.49 to start overtime. Mm-hmm. Fresh ice. Mm-hmm. Power play, you're thinking, this is going to end in controversy because everybody's going to complain about the call. Well, they managed to kill it off. And that, not that much longer, this happened.
Panthers regroup as they get onside. Bennett carries it on the right side. Into the high slot. Got it back to the line. They score for Hagee with a long wrist shot. An overtime game winner. And the Panthers are back in this series.
There you go. Carter Verhaeghe. All he does is score goals. Mm-hmm. Gets the winner 4.5 minutes into overtime. Yeah. And the Florida Panthers beat the Vegas Golden Knights 3-2. They're now down 2-1 with Game 4 coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you're starting to feel better, JR, based on Bobrovsky's play. And I'll say this, certainly when it was 2-1 and Matthew Tkachuk left the game, I didn't not expect him to come back. And even when he came back, I was tracking him and kind of looked out to lunch. Kind of tells you about the concussion protocol. But the way they're able to climb back and score and all of a sudden win in overtime, yeah, completely different vibe. It's just absolutely incredible. The line that they're on and what they've done this entire playoff, if you're a Cats fan waking up this morning, I'm actually feeling pretty good going into game four, to be quite honest with you.
It's incredible, Florida in overtime in these playoffs. Yeah. That win last night, they're now 7-0
really
in overtime.
That's incredible.
In this year's playoffs. Here's head coach Paul Maurice on why they're so good in OT.
might be a holdover from last year, not in terms of stuff. This is a team that scored an awful lot of goals. So just sitting in as individuals on the bench, they've had big goal moments, right, I think? 24 comebacks last year. If that, you would know better than I would, but I think that's the number. So you get to keep a little bit of that confidence, right? So there's guys on that bench that have scored in a comeback and a goalie pulled that feel it. Verhey wants the puck, right? Why wouldn't he? So I think there's a little bit of kind of collective confidence from the past.
That's an interesting point. Now, I hadn't even thought about it till he brought it up there. If you remember Florida on their way to the President's Trophy last year, how many big third period, how many huge third period comebacks they had? I'm talking about the regular season. Yeah. Obviously, they crashed out in the playoffs, that was the story of, oh, my God, Florida came back and won another game. So there you go. Whether you believe it or not, that's what Paul Maurice attributes a little bit to.
Yeah, I didn't know the stat. To me, the reason they're back in the game and the way this has gone in the playoffs has been Matthew Tkachuk and Ben Bobrovsky. And I guess on the 30th anniversary, JR, this reminds you an awful lot of the Montreal Canadiens in 1993, right? Didn't they have a crazy amount?
10-0.
10-0.
Well, I don't know if they were 10-0. They won 10 games.
Okay.
Which is the record.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely incredible.
Wins.
And you think about John LeClair. You think about guys rising up. Of course, Patrick Waugh. So, it just, the margin is so incredible. I mean, you really felt, it almost felt like, oh, man, this is going to turn into a sweep. There's no way they're going to come back. And even wondered, and sitting there watching with Mira, I said, boy, Matthew Tkachuk should not be on the ice. And she's like, what do you mean he's fine? The guy stays out for the power play, then goes into concussion protocol, and then comes back at the game. And I just thought, man, I don't know. I just tracked him, and I really
kind of... Oh, he had nothing going on all night.
Well, he really just didn't look normal. Like, he was fumbling the puck, and, you know, you just say to yourself, man, we've supposedly come so far, and you know that he wants to play. But again, found a way to score the goal, and now he'll kind of regroup. But yeah, that was certainly pretty inspirational. I did not expect to see him back in the hockey game.
What did you think of Verhaeghe's shot? Was, you know, a snapshot, top of the circles, middle of the ice. There was some traffic for sure.
But oh, not a good goal.
I thought Hill had a look at it. I didn't. That was, now, I don't call you a goal, even though you're a former goalie, a goalie apologist. Like most of the goalies that are analysts on TV are all saying, but this excuse, this, you know. Yeah, I thought he should have had that one.
No, and a good sign for Florida. Bobrovsky was back making those, and it always seems like the same save, JR. Seems like he goes from glove side to blocker side, and he made a couple of those blocker saves. I have no idea how Marchessault scored that goal last night, though, to be honest with you. And that pass by Eichel, I don't know how that thing got in the net. Bobrovsky actually played it really well. Had a real similar save earlier, and I'm like, how did that puck sneak into the net? And then I thought really Vegas was just going to kind of cruise on their way. Much like St. Louis did a few years ago, where you get a lead and there's nothing you can do. So, yeah, you feel pretty good if you're Florida. The Bob played well. Tkachuk scores a monster goal. You win in overtime. And, series on here. Still feeling my Vegas Knights in five. But like I said, that was a big one last night as I get a death stare from Hammer.
Here is Captain Mark Stone on his thoughts on the difference in Game 3.
We need to capitalize the chances. I mean, I think we're playing a really good 5-on-5 game there. Weren't really capitalizing on our chances. We had two good power play goals. Overall, I thought we were playing a really solid game. You know, they got a goal with 2.5 minutes left, and we get a power play. We don't capitalize, and I just give it the middle of the ice and the overtime goal. But overall, I actually thought we played pretty well. Kind of sat back a little bit, but and then regroup and get ready for game four.
So there is Mark Stone. Bruce Cassidy, the coach, kind of said the same thing. Didn't really have too many issues with his. With his team's game last night, had a big player score a goal in a big spot in Matthew Tkachuk, and then, gave up, maybe one that the goalie would like to have back in overtime. But I'll tell you one thing, what Florida can't do. The two Vegas goals last night were both scored on the power play.
For sure.
They've now got two power play goals in each of the first three games.
For sure.
Part of the issue is the fact that Florida's taking I think we all agree that that was a bogus call at the end of regulation, but that was the seventh power play of the night last night for Vegas. Like, Florida is just taking way too many penalties. Yeah. They've got sixteen penalties that they've taken so far in the first three games of the season.
And I will say, as a rallying point, though, it sure feels like the referees are sick of the Florida Panthers. There are some calls that are made, to be quite honest with you. You're like, kind of like, oh, wow. You know, I think in hockey
that were made against Florida last night.
Oh yeah, at times. I'm just saying, you know, you can call something on every play.
Well, they're calling everything tight last night.
Yeah,
I thought.
Yeah, they were. I mean, hey, you ended up with 12 power plays. I mean, Florida had 5. Their power play just hasn't been very good. But you're right. Kind of the trend, and I'm not a big fan of games like that. In the sense of, I really think it does disrupt the flow. And you're to a point in the year where, you know, guys are a little bit tired. The Ekblad penalty where he wraps his arms, those are penalties. I understand that. But man, oh man, there's just so much that happens below the tops of the circles that whether it's a hook or a hold could pretty much be called on every play.
Mm. All right, so game 4 will be tomorrow night back in Florida. Vegas still leading the series, and we now know there will be a game 5, which will be, again, after a 2-day break. Mm-hmm. So after tomorrow night, it's going to be 2-day breaks between all of the games as they fly back and forth. So Tuesday for game 5 back in Vegas. Obviously, if they win tomorrow night, they'll have a chance to clinch on home ice. If not, it'll be down to a best of 3. Between the Cats and the Golden Knights.
Yeah, and I feel like Monday we're going to hear about the Sens ownership. Just feels like that's the day, Jer. And I have no inside information on that. I'm just figuring as you get into 2-day spacers, that's the time to make
filler, some. Oh, filler from the NHL.
Yeah.
Okay, announce it. We need something.
Need a little something here.
Yeah.
Right?
Was it? What was the news he had at the end of the show yesterday?
Oh, just that everyone's mad.
Oh, yeah. All of the ownership groups.
Everyone's mad.
Frustrated.
Process is taking too long.
And one might leave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good little nugget.
I'm taking my ball and going home.
Yeah.
But the part to it is that, and again, from what I'm told, as people kind of go through this whole process, this really has nothing to do with the league. As I've tried to kind of point out before, these four groups are being handpicked. Whoever it wants to be is by the board and the Sens board, and I guess to some extent the estate or the family, however you want to term it. And then after that, it's pretty much a rubber stamp from the National Hockey League. So unless they're, you know, being told, listen, hold off here, which, as you said, I don't think that's necessarily the case, but who knows?
I don't think they want it announced on a game day.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But I think
that.
On
I
any off
that.
Day of yeah, the Stanley yeah, Cup yeah, final, yeah. I think the NHL is more than happy if it gets announced on one of those days.
Yeah, I guess. I don't really have an answer. I don't know, you know, it doesn't sound like that has anything to do with the league. I think it's just quite simply, for whatever reason, they have not been able to resolve it or come up with the finality of the owner.
The off-the-ice news from yesterday. Now, it's just reports, not been verified by the Maple Leafs, but reports that the Leafs are going to hire Shane Doan as the new assistant general manager to new general manager Brad Treliving. Mm-hmm. Of course, Brad Treliving at one point was the assistant GM in Arizona under Don Maloney before he became the GM in Calgary. So that's the connection because, of course, Shane Doan has been a Coyote forever. People are kind of sifting through the tea leaves and going, are the Toronto Maple Leafs bringing in Shane Doan? Because when Austin Matthews was growing up in the Phoenix area, his favorite, well, I don't know if his favorite player, but
no, it was his favorite.
Shane Doan was, you know, he was Mr. Arizona Coyote. Mm-hmm. Let's do whatever we can to make sure that Austin Matthews wants to remain a Toronto Maple Leaf. So we'll hire his hero as the assistant general manager and bring him into the organization.
Yeah, I think it's a big part of it. Now, you look at Shane Doan, he's had some experience with Hockey Canada. He's a player personnel guy. He's certainly not in a contract guy. But I think this is part of it, JR. And you also go back to Andre Tournier and saying, listen, really wasn't prepared to leave Ottawa. But remember his quote was, I sat down with Doaner. Shane Doan is a bright guy. He's got a great personality. Well, I think this is a factor for sure and would not hurt. Now, as I said, I think he factors in with some hockey experience, but by all accounts, he's just one of those guys that brings an incredible energy. One thing he doesn't bring, other than, I guess, did they go to the third round 1 year? I don't think the
2012.
I don't think playoff success was exactly. And there was always forever where it was like, is he going to get traded? And he's like, no, it's too nice here. I don't really want to go to a playoff team. I just want to stay. But he is a great guy. So, yeah, I think this is a part of the angle, bringing in some new energy, a highly experienced guy. And I think from the Matthews angle, certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Austin Matthews is going into the final year of his contract and, of course, has a no-move clause, which kicks in on July 1st. And there are some that suggest that the Leafs want to, lock in a long-term. He's eligible to sign an extension as of July 1, but you can certainly talk to him and come to the framework of a deal before then that they would maybe like to find out what his intentions are between now and then, because when the no move clicks in,
1 year from UFA. He's in complete control at that
big
point.
Big time, big time, yeah.
I don't know that he's going to exercise that necessarily, but as an organization, that always makes you a little bit fearful.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you don't have full control or even any control. Yeah. Anyway, that's the off-the-ice news. Elliot Friedman also saying last night in the Hockey Night in Canada broadcast that Ryan Huska, five-year assistant in Calgary, looks like he's now the front runner to get the Flames head coaching job. That's one of two openings still left in the NHL, that and that of the New York Rangers. So Huska looks like he may be the guy in Calgary, an internal candidate. All right, 6:41, we'll take a break. Your thoughts on anything we chat about the game last night. Are you still into it? Like, are you like dialed right into the Stanley Cup final? If you don't have any rooting interest, and I'm guessing most people don't, has this been a series that is drawing you in? Because, you know, as you know, if you're kind of going, well, I don't really know if I'm into it or not, and then you sit down to watch, and sometimes you're like, yeah, you know what, it's not doing it for me, and you're going somewhere else in terms of your television viewing habits, or sometimes you sit down and you look at it and you go, actually, this is pretty good. I don't really care who wins, or maybe I do care who wins now that I've watched it play itself out, and I am drawn in, and I'm making sure I'm watching. How is this series playing out for you? Into it more than you thought? Not into it, or I guess into it less than you thought. You can share that by text as well at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. We'll take a break, 6:41. Get you set for a busy sports weekend, including the kickoff to the Red Black season coming up tomorrow night. That and much more here on Sports Radio, TSN1200. JR, Zimmer, and Hammer with you. Florida wins Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final last night, 3-2 in overtime. As Carter Verhaeghe is the hero, Matthew Tkachuk ties it late with the goalie out. And so the Panthers now trail the series 2-1 with Game 4 coming up tomorrow night back in Florida at 8 o'clock. All right, tomorrow night, Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final, Game 1 of the Red Black season, as they'll be in Montreal to take on the Alouettes. They'll go through a final walkthrough today before they get on. I think they're taking a bus. Could be a train. Not quite sure. Anyway, they'll get to Montreal today. Kick off the season tomorrow night against the Alouettes. The boys from the Drive, Lee and AJ, were down at the stadium yesterday doing the show. Had a couple of people stop by, including Nate Behar, Red Blacks receiver, and a new offensive coordinator, Kahari Jones. Here's Kahari talking about the retooling of the Red Blacks offense.
I really am happy with what I've been seeing so far. Of course, there's always things to improve. There's always things to get better, but we have a good group. I really like the. It starts with the O-line. I mean, you know, the guys up front are doing their thing and protecting the quarterbacks, giving them time to find people. And yeah, that's all you can ask for is just a group that's willing to work day in and day out.
There's Kahari Jones. You can find the interview in its entirety on our website at tsn1200.ca. Of course, he'll be calling the plays tomorrow night with Nick Arbuckle under center. He will start a quarterback for the Red Blacks. Jeremiah Masoli, of course, earlier this week was ruled out for the first two games of the season, and the Red Blacks are on a bye for week three. So we won't see Masoli until the end of the month at the earliest. It'll be up to Nick Arbuckle, who we saw for, well, parts of 12 games last season. So he got it, but this is an entirely new offense. Yeah. Well, a new offensive coordinator and some new skill position players as well. We'll see if we see a better Nick Arbuckle last year, because it was pretty uneven. Well, the Red Blacks offense was uneven.
Well, and even circumstance, Jer, and it sounds strange, but confidence in your quarterback. This is a quarterback that under LaPolice was basically cut in favor of what, Matt Nichol? Is that the way it went? Is it Matt Nichol that ended up coming over?
Paul LaPolice wanted Matt Nichols.
Arbuckle was let go. And so you kind of come back and you wonder, where did that move come from? Now you've had where your family's comfortable. You're back. You've been able to study everything. So, yeah, you certainly wish him the best. And from the O-line, is our good friend Dante Bull, is he active, JR?
He's not. No, he's been ruled out.
Okay, so he's still working his way along. But, yeah, real interested to see what the O-line's able to do. And just overall, real excited to see what the Red Blacks are all about tomorrow. And I will be in attendance for the game, the home opener. So excited to see the next couple of games.
I thought you were going. I'm so juiced. I'm driving to Montreal for the game tomorrow night. Yeah, that's what you were going to say.
Haven't quite worked up that flavor of fandom yet.
Well, I got the deck
to finish.
I've only been to Percival Molson Stadium on the campus of McGill University time, and it was when it reopened.
Okay.
This was the point when they got to, they either. I wonder why they got, was it the piece of cement had fallen in the Big O? And they couldn't play out of there for safety reasons, or was it just so cavernous and said, let's move downtown? Yeah, I think it was just because it was just a better place.
Even cost,
went to a game there, and at that point, they just reopened it. This is the point where there was a tree growing in the middle of the stands, very famously. I went to a game there. I don't remember how I ended up there, but I was at a game, and that was the time when I peed in the trough. That was the very famous.
How is the stadium, though? Was it kind of old and rickety?
Yes, it is.
And very cool backdrop, though.
It is. And it's not. That's a really nice. It's up, you know, that part of Montreal, you're kind of up, sort of partially up the mountain, I guess, at that point. So you get a nice view. Yeah. It is a nice backdrop to the city, and I mean, the stadium is, they made some improvements or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're right in the middle of the action. There's no doubt about that. But you know, it's like I was thinking about this morning when I, you know, talking about how the attendance last night in Calgary didn't look very good, and you know, the Flames look like they're going to get a new arena. And at one point under the old deal, it was supposed to be a new arena and a new football stadium to replace McMahon, which has been around forever. Is now, I believe, I don't think there's going to be a new football stadium aspect to this new deal. But the point being, a lot of CFL and we're lucky here in Ottawa, a lot of CFL stadiums are really long in the tooth, right? And, you know, Calgary is right at the top of the list. It's not that Commonwealth just looks so... You know, when you got a football field surrounded by a track, and then you've got a 55,000 seat stadium in a league where, quite honestly, if you can draw 20,000 to 25,000, that's great.
Yeah, exactly.
So you walk into a stadium as an Edmonton Elks player now, and the thing is a third full. It's just there was a time when they drew close to 40,000 and 50,000 for games. That's not the reality any longer in Edmonton. So it's just a lot. They have a new stadium in Saskatchewan, state of the art. New stadium in Hamilton, absolutely. Obviously here in Ottawa, half the stadium's been redone. The other half will get done.
Winnipeg's probably the most modern.
Winnipeg also, so opened recently, but there's some long in the two stadiums. And that, let's face it, I mean, fans are used to the conveniences of new things, and sometimes old is enough to keep them away.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you can always come up with excuses, Jared, but you're right. I mean, people certainly, it certainly helps. But I think just the bigger picture is understanding that in Vancouver, in Toronto, in Montreal, it's not the prime event. And from Montreal perspective, probably we'll see what the attendance ends up being, but that's a big thing. When all of a sudden then you look at Calgary, and then you start chipping away and asking yourself, outside of a Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, and Ottawa, I guess Hamilton to some extent, you know, what is the heart of the CFL? You know, and so I don't think the league personally has done themselves any favors in the overall feel around the league and trying to continue to be a little bit more progressive. But we'll see. Hopefully a big year for the Red Blacks.
All right. They'll start it off, kicking off tomorrow night, game one, 7 o'clock here on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, Jeff Avery, who will join us later on in the show. We'll call the game, of course, Lever Sage and... James Duke Ellingson will take you through the pregame show beginning at 5:30. By the way, Friday Night Football. Tonight we'll see Hamilton in Winnipeg to kick off the season. Of course, last night was the season opener. BC beat Calgary in Calgary 25-15. And then they're doing the one game a night thing. There's actually a game on Sunday between Saskatchewan and Edmonton. The Toronto Argonauts get the very coveted week off in week one.
Yeah.
They get the bye week in week one, which is probably not necessarily ideal, but somebody in a 9-team league, a 9 does not divide evenly, so somebody's got to sit out every single week.
Yeah.
All right, so there, that takes you through that. What else did I want to get to? A bunch of stuff. Well, you brought up the fact that, I'll touch on this a little bit, of Montreal's overtime record, Montreal Canadiens, I'm talking about overtime record, because Florida's now 7-0 after their victory last night. It didn't happen in overtime. But it was 30 years ago today that the Montreal Canadiens beat the LA Kings in Game 5 to win the Stanley Cup, their 24th Stanley Cup. And, of course, here we are. That was June 9th, 1993. It's now June 9th, 2023, 30 years later. And, of course, no Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup since.
And I don't really look at any big factor, JR. You've certainly had from Calgary to Ottawa to Edmonton to Vancouver. Am I missing anybody else?
Montreal.
Every
team except for Winnipeg and Toronto.
And Toronto. So I've been to the finals. So, you know what? It's 32-team league. It will happen at some point. But, 30 years ago. And think back to what's your most memorable thought when you think about the Stanley Cup final between Montreal and L.A.? What's the one thing that stands out?
Oh, the illegal stick.
Exactly. That's always going to come back. And that put Guy Carbonneau Marty in the Hall of Fame. You know, that's a neat part. Like, Guy Carbonneau knew that he had an illegal stick, and so there were three things that Carbonneau did well in his career. One of them was calling the illegal stick, and that got him into the Hall of Fame. So if guys are looking in this series, and I don't know if you can call illegal sticks, but you could put that on your resume, there's a possibility you're that much closer to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, if it can be that easy, absolutely, yeah.
Is there such thing as an illegal curve now?
I don't remember the last time
they
illegal.
No, I don't think there is. Like, I don't think so. And certainly
Marchessault,
if there is, he would be in the penalty box.
He's got the big banana hook.
He's got the toe hook. Yeah.
I've never really. Can you explain to me why there was a rule against that?
You know what? I think. Well, first of all, the curved stick, I think, was such a big deal when it came in, JR. I think initially it had to do with goalie safety, did it not?
I believe so. Yeah,
I think that's what it was. Well, but
when they started wearing masks in 1970.
Oh no, I know. Right? It was just a long time. But the other thing that they used to measure, which is long gone. Do you remember how long they were measuring? The big thing was the width of the blade, right? And for the goaltenders at the heel, remember how they had the little thing there at the penalty box that they'd measure for that? So, yeah, I don't...
Everybody says Dreisaitl's got a paddle as you're allowed to have.
Oh, yeah, no. They had a little like thing a canoe on that. Paddle. I think they measured it at 14 inches or something. They did a little special on the NHL Network. Just a monster. I mean, Chara had to get the exemption, right, to have a longer stick. You see that, and the monster blade, and then jokingly, Adam Oates, I just couldn't even believe it, Jared, when he played in Washington, literally cut his blade in half. Like, to fathom what he did as a hockey player, both on face-offs and running the half wall in a power play, playing with half a blade was, oh man, if you could just see the stick, it was just the coolest thing to imagine. You could have that much talent and that much confidence, and he just felt like in traffic, he was that much better with the half a blade.
All right, so 30 years ago today, Montreal won the last Stanley Cup by a Canadian-based team. In 2001, Colorado beat New Jersey in Game 7, and Ray Bourque got to raise the Stanley Cup. And, of course, that was the one where it's always the captain, right?
Yeah.
Grabs it. You know, Bettman holds on to it far too long, as always. Gary, just give it to the captain, okay? 5 seconds of photo op is more than enough, my friend. Then get out of there. Anyway,
exactly.
Joe Sakic didn't even raise it above his head. He just said, Ray, get over here. That was a really, really neat moment.
Yeah. I think the simple fact he had already won one, right? If he had not won, maybe give it a bit of a raise, but already had. And he's such a class act.
That was a nice moment. So that happened on this day in 2001. That we're celebrating a lot of Stanley Cup championships that happened on this day, including this one that happened in 2010, the Stanley Cup final between Philadelphia and Chicago.
Control in the flyer zone. Campbell at the point drops to Kane. Kane takes it along the end board, fires it on that save, Layton. He has it in front, waiting for the whistle. The play continues. And now Kane skating back into his own zone. And he is steamed. Look at him. Kane has dropped the gloves, and he wants anybody. Patrick Kane wants to go. Oh, and he's grabbed his own teammate. The grappling in there. I think the whistle is gone. Kane, that's a fighting major. And I have to say, he's going to get the instigator. Even if it was his own team, he'll be gone for the rest of overtime. And now, Game 7, if there is one. What was he thinking? The referees, they're not even breaking up the fight. It's only the Blackhawks going at it. Boy, this is serious. Here comes Commissioner Gary Bettman. Wow, some swift justice for Patrick Kane, who's completely lost his mind. Unbelievable. Oh, it's a goal. Kane ripped it home back then. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. House game coming up.
That's how it sounded 13 years ago today as the Chicago Blackhawks Patrick Kane scores in overtime. It's a goal to break a Stanley Cup drought of 49 years. Yeah. It's a goal that if you go back in time, you will never hear the kind of, especially as a Stanley Cup winning overtime goal, you usually have a very memorable classic call that goes along with it that we all will remember forever. Yeah. That one We'll never have one because no one saw the puck actually go into the net.
Yeah, and it's funny as visuals go, and I guess because it's an overtime, JR, it's one of those plays you just remember. You remember the camera angle. You remember especially with where the camera was and Kane coming down that left side. You had no idea watching on TV, and you just thought to yourself, well, no goaltender in the Stanley Cup final is going to let that goal in. But that's what happens when you have the quality of Michael Layton in goal at that point.
All right. So, that one broke the drought for the Blackhawks. Yeah. Of course, they went on to win 3 Stanley Cups in, 6 years, I believe it was? And leaves the Toronto Maple Leafs now as the team with the longest drought. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard, but the Leafs haven't won the Stanley Cup since 1967. So there you go. There's your, amongst others, 3 Stanley Cup championships clinched on this day. All right, 6:59. We're going to take a break. Top of the hour news and sports update is on the way. We'll tell you how Florida wins in overtime to get back in the Stanley Cup final. And we'll come back with hour 2. We'll have some winning for you. Don't forget Dave Poulin will join us later. Jeff Avery as well. As we roll on here for a smoke-free Friday morning, you're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.